This is a Sunday where we are unwrapping another gift. Just as a reminder, if you haven't been able to be with us each week, week one, Amy helped us unwrap the gift of hope. Good. And last week, we unwrapped the gift of peace. Today is joy. And next Sunday, when we gather together, it'll be the gift of love. Yeah. Good. I want to introduce you to the great Christmas song. I'm not sure if any of you know this one. It was written by Elton John and performed in 1994 for the very first time. And it was, Hakuna Matata, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Hakuna Matata, the great Christmas song. Don't you remember that one? Yeah. What a wonderful world. Okay. We know it's not a Christmas song. I know it's Joy to the World. My wife often accuses me of singing mashup songs where I sing the words to one song to the tune of another song. I do it all the time. And in my mind, it makes sense. But I know that Hakuna Matata is not a Christmas song. But that phrase that was made popular in the movie, The Lion King, I was reminded of this because the new Lion King is going to be coming out. If you haven't watched the trailer, you can. But in that original movie, Hakuna Matata is the song that's sung by the lovable warthog and meerkat. Hakuna Matata is sort of like how we approach joy oftentimes, especially in this season. Because that phrase in Swahili means no worries or no more trouble. And when they sing the song in that movie, they're trying to convince the young lion Simba to forget about his troubles, that there are no worries for the rest of your days. And if you have been adulting for any number of years now, you know that that is so far from the truth. In the song, it's their problem-free philosophy they sing. And it's appealing. And it's memorable until the realities of your life confront you front and center. No worries is not what the angels proclaimed long ago. They didn't sing, Hakuna Matata, the Lord is come. Thank you, Amy. Instead, what did they proclaim? They proclaimed great joy, good news of great joy for all people. And the song is, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Now, we know that joy is not happiness. Happiness rises and falls like the tides out on the sea. It can ebb and flow depending on what's happening in your life. It's perfectly commonplace to have days where you have multiple moments of happiness and multiple moments of misery. But joy can be that constant drumbeat in your life that really orients you to the deeper truths and realities that God offers to you. When we get closer to Christmas, we see about it, we read about it, and we hear about what a joyful season it is. And sometimes we think, I don't feel very joyful right now. We try to cram all those sort of negative feelings down. It's one of the reasons we want to offer the service on Wednesday night, a Blue Christmas service. And if you don't feel joyful in this season, sometimes we try to create joy, thinking that we can do that in the first place, by tossing away all the troubles that are in our life, ignoring our struggles, and just living for the moment. Hakuna Matata. That's not what Christmas joy is about at all. Christmas joy is about so much more than that. No worries, doesn't that sound like a great thing? Yeah, it's a great thing for about a minute. It's always shallow and short-lived. Instead, the gift that we unwrap and that's offered to us today is a deep and abiding joy that only comes from the Lord. It's a joy so powerful it can hold its own in the darkness. Every day as it starts getting dark in the 4 o'clocks now, which is kind of depressing to a lot of us. If you have seasonal affective disorder, I'm so sorry right now. Joy can sustain us even in the darkness, even in the midst of the troubles and struggles that you're feeling right now. Perhaps, though, you still have that question kind of lingering in your mind. What if I don't feel joyful? How can I receive this gift while I'm gripped by suffering and loneliness, pain, grief, stress, busyness, or boredom? While we're going to list a few ways that we can experience joy or learn to experience joy in this season, for now I want to encourage you to receive this gift in faith. It's how we receive all gifts of God, in faith. Let's turn to the Word. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." An inexpressible and glorious joy. See, joy doesn't mean that you have to cast aside your worries to unwrap this gift. You don't have to be feeling perfect to unwrap this gift. It's not dependent on your circumstances, your emotions, and your feelings. It's an inexpressible and glorious gift from Christ. It's deep and powerful. The Bible is full of scriptures that illustrate they try to paint this picture of joy for us. Psalm 96 puts it like this, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes." See, even creation, the moment that Jesus was sent to earth, even creation was waiting for that moment. See, because our sin, when it entered the world, caused a lot of problems for us, we know that. But it also caused a lot of problems for the rest of creation. And creation waits for the Creator to come and restore everything. In Advent, we prepare and anticipate that Jesus is coming. This is the gift that we unwrap today. Have you ever waited for something so long that you might have even forgotten that it was on its way? Or like Peter, been expecting something in the mail and a whole bunch of packages suddenly are disappearing and they never get to you? There's a long history of post office mistakes. And we can lump the other delivery categories or delivery companies in that category. But there was a recent example of something that was lost in the mail that really touched my heart. It was a letter that was delivered 14 years after it was written. And it was written from a father in India to his son who lived in New York City. We have a copy of, or we have a picture of the actual letter that this father sent to his son. This is just the beginning of it. Who receives a handwritten letter anymore today? And when it arrived, it confused the son. You see, this letter was written a few weeks after September 11th. And it confused the son because his father had died years ago. And he didn't understand why it was just getting to him now. And as he read the letter that his father had written to him, he was overcome with this deep reminder and sense of connection to his dad. Tears flooded his eyes as he held this piece of paper, something created by his father, who was simply writing to him to express concern for his safety after the tragic events of 9/11. He wanted to know that his son was safe. When the man shared this letter, he said this, 14 years is a long time to wait for a letter, but rarely has one been more welcome. The expression of concern in the letter is sadly still relevant today. But the physical letter itself was a real joy. For this guy, it certainly was an unexpected joy. It was something he hadn't even been waiting for. He didn't know that he was waiting for it. It was a joy that was on its way the whole time. And it would have been meaningful if that letter had gotten to him right away. But it took on even added significance because he had to wait for it without even knowing that it was coming. Joy can be that way, whether you know it's coming or not, whether we're given hope for its arrival or not. With Jesus, however, we know he's on the way, and we know he has indeed already come. To receive this gift of joy, first we must learn to wait with expectation. If you're a writer, you can write on the back of your bulletin, wait with expectation. This is not passive waiting. This is not kicking back in your lazy boy, hoping that things are going to turn out. This is an expectant waiting. This is something that the people of Israel knew how to do. They had waited almost forever for the promise of the Messiah to take place. And now that it was so many hundreds of years later that they had been waiting, some of them perhaps had given up. Some of them had been consumed by the cares of life. But there were still some who held out hope that the Messiah was truly going to come. The one promised who would save them, although they didn't realize this at the time, save them in a way that they weren't expecting. You see, their waiting was active. And when we engage in that kind of active waiting, anticipating what is to come, your waiting has purpose. I don't know if you've ever had to wait for something. You didn't want to wait, but you had to. And then when it finally arrived, maybe in that moment, maybe down the road, you see some greater purpose in why you had to wait in the first place. I liked Rebecca for about 3 years before we got together. She was engaged to another guy. I don't know if I might have shared that before. And I had to sit there and bide my time, you know, like a nice guy, just waiting and hoping. And it was at the moment that I gave up hope that suddenly the doors were opened for us. And it made all the difference for me because I appreciated it so much more. I don't know what that is for you, that thing that you're waiting for in your life, but I want to encourage you today, wait with expectation. Be active in your waiting. If you're just sitting there doing nothing, pray more. Wait harder. I don't know what that looks like. It just sounds good. Expectation grows, and when that happens, hope stays alive in you. Joy is similar, and even if you do not feel joy today or right now, you can anticipate the coming of joy to the world in the gift of Jesus Christ. It's like that gift that you know is coming, the one that you've hinted at to your family members, and you know that they've probably ordered it on Amazon, and you see the box, and you know it's about the same size of what you're looking for, and you can barely wait, and if you don't have any kids, you don't even have to wait till Christmas. But you can barely wait. You anticipate the unwrapping moment. Jesus is like that gift. He's the one that can move us from discouragement or hopelessness into experiencing life-giving, transformational joy. Now, in the actual Christmas story that we read about in Luke 2 and in other of the gospel accounts, the shepherds are a good example of this. You see, when the angels showed up to deliver them a message, they didn't immediately feel joy. What did they feel? Fear. They were afraid. Totally afraid. Luke 2 says this. The angel says, "Do not be afraid. Somehow the angel knew. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I think it is so important that the angel started out by saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's the angel addressing their real fear. See, in that time, when you encountered something that was otherworldly, divine, being in the presence of God, you were pretty much assured that you might die. Sorry, Karen, I keep moving around. I know you're trying to take a picture, but I just can't contain myself. I get too excited. You thought when you were going to be in the presence of God that you would die, because that had happened before. People that had touched the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament when they weren't supposed to, died. Others died as well. But not this time. Do not be afraid. The angel helps them move beyond their fear so that they can receive this message of joy. That the one they waited for and expected for so long had been born. They weren't even aware of it. By the end of the night, somehow they got it. If you read Luke 2:20, it says this, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just as they had been told. As we walk through Advent in December, we wait. We wait to celebrate the birth of Jesus. When we're young, it's really hard to wait. When we're old, sometimes things happen so fast that we wouldn't mind waiting a little bit more. And though we know that Christ, the Messiah, has already come to earth, we also know there is more to come with his eventual return to earth, his second coming. Because of this, you can expect the arrival of joy. Joy is already here, regardless of what circumstances you are going through right now. You can be joyful. You might not be happy, but you can be joyful. That's the first one. Wait with expectation. Second, to receive the gift of joy, we must learn to look for the signs. See, sometimes we see so much bad news and bad things in our world that we grow numb to the joy that is already present and that is unfolding in our world. The nightly news does not open with joy. It might close with a story of joy or something positive, you know, a making a difference segment, but it doesn't start out like that. And it's easy for us to miss what's actually happening. Do you ever wonder why the wise men, out of all the people in the world, were the only ones who recognized and followed the star of Bethlehem? Out of all the people that were there, no one else looked up in the sky and said, that's an unusual star. I'm going to check it out. Something right there in the sky in plain sight for the whole world to see. But most people, Jews or Gentiles, people all over, didn't recognize what it meant. For these few who did, it caused, the word says, great joy. They saw and recognized the sign because they knew what was coming. See, they were waiting with expectation. They weren't sitting on the backs of their camels twiddling their thumbs. I don't think that that's what they would be doing anyways. I don't imagine a camel ride is really that enjoyable of an experience, but I've never ridden one, so I don't know. Has anyone ridden a camel before? They knew what was coming. They were looking for a sign. Matthew 2 says this, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. When's the last time you felt overjoyed? Let me rephrase. When's the last time you were overjoyed? It's not a feeling. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. You see, they recognized the arrival of joy in the world. And they responded and worshiped. And amazingly, they themselves were filled with joy. See, they worshiped the Christ child, even if they didn't have an idea of what that fully meant. And it says they were filled with joy, overjoyed. I know it's hard to recognize joy in our lives sometimes. Sometimes it feels like the negative things are just a whole lot easier. We get used to them. And when we get used to things, we tend to like focus on that. And we become less aware of other things that are happening. It's hard to recognize joy when it doesn't look like what we expect it to look like. We expect joy to be free of worry and hardship. Hakuna Matata joy. But the Bible tells us that joy can be found within and even because of the hard things that you are going through right now. James 1 says this, consider it pure joy. This is hard. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Pure joy? That trial that I'm going through, I can experience pure joy. It almost seems too good to be true or too impossible to be true. That's not Hakuna Matata joy. But those of you that have been through the fires and the floods of life know how much richer and deeper is the experience of joy when it burns bright, lighting our path in the midst of darkness. You see, not every moment is that mountaintop high like going to camp as a kid. Having that spiritual awakening. You know, if you're always at the top of a mountain, everything starts to look the same. It's only when you've been through something that you can see this perspective and joy can take on this deeper and richer meaning. When we say we have faith, how do we know unless we've been tested? Whatever trials exist for you today, I want to encourage you to keep looking for the signs of joy present in your life. They are there if you look hard enough. Learn to see and recognize it wherever and whenever it shows up. Look for the signs. Third, to receive the gift of joy, we must learn probably the easiest and the hardest part. Follow his footsteps. You see, everything that we need to know about joy and peace and hope and love, which we'll talk about next week, Jesus has already revealed. He's already revealed the keys for all of that. It's in his word. We see it in the life of the church when we're operating in the way that it was meant to. Christ has already shown us what we need to know and do in order to receive joy. Do you know that every time we follow his footsteps, we are choosing the path of joy? We are choosing joy over the alternatives. Now, this is a kind of a deceptive idea because when we choose joy, it's not something that we can do. It's not something that if I just work harder, I'm going to be more joyful. It's like all those other parts of faith. We can't work harder. It's a gift we receive freely in faith. You can't just close your eyes, focus really hard. You know, like when you're trying to concentrate, you see a little child doing this every now and then. They're trying to concentrate. And then it's not like suddenly joy just pops in. That's not how joy works. In fact, sometimes the harder we try, the less joyful we can feel and experience. We work harder, we get busier, and we stress ourselves out trying to be joyful. I'm going to be joyful if it kills me. The harder we work sometimes, it doesn't work. Joy is a gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit that God is growing within you. We can't choose joy, but we can choose to practice living in ways that God's word says will bring us joy. What are a few of those ways, those choices that we can make? I've listed just a couple on the back. You're choosing joy when you choose gratitude instead of grumbling. Amen. Gratitude instead of, you could put another G word, griping. It's easy to gripe and grumble. The Israelites, we read about that, that's a word that's used over and over about them in the Old Testament. They grumbled about everything. We do the same thing. Sometimes it's easier to grumble and be outraged than to actually do something productive. When you don't feel joyful, instead of grumbling about the situation or complaining to get attention, go for gratitude. Try that for a change. See what that does in your life. Choose to give thanks. In fact, you can try it out loud when you're tempted to grumble about something or someone more often. Name one reason you have to be thankful, especially for that person. Sometimes I find that it's those people that really test this choice. Name one reason you have to be thankful, or three or eight if you're an overachiever and you like to do more than everybody else. You can write them all down. And as you do this, you'd be surprised at how long that list gets. And suddenly those grumbles feel kind of small and petty when the weight of gratitude is laid upon them. Now, if you're thinking or you're sitting there going, yeah, but, or you're rolling your eyes, hopefully not in reality, maybe just inside, then that's part of the problem. That's a choice in the other way. Here's one way that we can visually see this choice. I like this one. Oh, that little kitty is so grateful for a ball. Grumpy cat doesn't care at all. Grumbly cat doesn't care at all. If you don't believe the words choose gratitude instead of grumbling, then I hope this convinces you. I mean, who wouldn't be convinced by that cute little kitty? Unless you're a dog person, you can look for the dog. Choosing gratitude is counterintuitive. Sometimes it's easier to feel like grumpy cat. Sometimes it makes us laugh, even. When we don't feel joyful, we'd rather gripe and complain. Mr. Grumpy Cat, believe it or not, has a Christmas movie. I'm not going to get it, but it looks pretty funny. But instead of grumbling, the very act of giving thanks, showing gratitude, is what can open our hearts to joy. That's why Paul instructs the church when he says in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. And if it wasn't clear enough, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Friends, it doesn't get more simple than that or more plain, straightforward. Gratitude goes a long way. And it can lead you closer to joy. When you don't know what to do in this season, or you feel overwhelmed and you feel anything but joy, choose to give thanks. That's the first one. Second one, you're choosing joy when you choose to be connected instead of cut off. Connected instead of cut off. This is a choice to be joined together, first to Christ, and second to one another in the church. If you believe that you can be connected to Christ and not your fellow brothers and sisters, it's a mistake. I can even be more forceful. It's wrong. We can't be connected to Christ and say, I don't need anyone else. It's not how God designed it in the first place. Yeah, the people around us are going to disappoint us. They're going to really test our patience. They're going to make us more like Mr. Grumpy Cat than Gratitude Cat. But that's probably exactly the point, because it forces us to continue to choose the way of God. You know, when you first put up Christmas lights, what do you have to do before you put them on your tree? If you're smart. Well, first, if you didn't ravel them proper, roll them up properly, you have to untangle them, and then you got to check them. And then you got to make sure, do I have the old style that has the bigger plug, that will it actually fit in the other plug? You have to make sure they're all connected, and then you have to make sure if they don't work, are they connected to the power source? Did you forget to plug it in the first place? If you want to experience the gift of joy, choose to be connected to Christ and the other relationships in your life. When we aren't connected, we lose touch with the power that powers us and produces joy and peace and hope and love. Sometimes we choose to be disconnected, but this is never a choice that will lead you to a deep and abiding joy. Here's another way to see this from one of my favorite Christmas movies. Here's choosing to be connected on the left. See his face. This is a choice when everything is working properly. Everything is plugged in and connected. And on the right side, I know it's a little bit hard to see, but his face is all incredulous. Like, I put all this time and work and effort and it's still not working. And at the very least, nothing was plugged in at the source. The light switch wasn't turned on. Oh, that Clark Griswold. You see, when everything is connected, things work. The light burns bright, and you can see the result in his face. That's a face that says, I am so joyful right now. I won't share the rest of the scene where he just goes off in a tirade. That's when he's cut off. When you're cut off from the source of power, nothing but frustration and yelling and saying things you regret, that's usually what ends up happening. You know, Jesus already told us to stay connected. John 15 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We've shared this verse before, John 15:5. When you're connected to Christ as your source of power and life, you not only grow stronger, you produce fruit. And what is that fruit? One of the fruits is joy. Joy is the result of choosing to be connected, not cut off. Lastly, you choose joy when you choose to remain instead of rebel. Not rebel, well, sort of rebel, but rebel. This is a lifelong choice, and certainly it is a struggle for all of us. When we rebel from Christ, we are choosing sin over Christ. When we remain in Christ, we choose to abide or dwell with Christ. This is a choice to obey God's way. When you remain in Christ, you are choosing to obey Christ. Because you cannot be in the presence of God and be disobedient. Well, you can, but then things happen. When we see the picture of the manger, it reminds us in this season that even as a child, Christ was already pulling people, animals, creation closer to himself, whether he was fully aware of it as a baby or not. You see, that's Emmanuel, God with us, inviting us to remain with him, inviting us to his way. He tells us part of the secret of joy. John 15 later on says this, if you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. We often want joy to just appear like magic out of nowhere. But Christ has already revealed one of the secrets of joy, and that it comes from obedience. That's hard. I didn't always believe that. I didn't always know that to be true. I certainly didn't always practice that. Joy can come from obedience. Just like gratitude and staying connected, we have to practice obedience as well. It's a process of seeking to follow God's ways and put them into action in our lives. This is what we do every week. We learn things. We grow together. We practice things. Sometimes we fall and fail. We don't always get things right. But the more we align ourselves with God's word, with the more we understand God's ways, the more we're able to choose actions that match that. And the more we experience the good fruit of joy. Choosing to remain with Christ prepares ourselves for this. How do we know? Because he said so. The very next verse, verse 11, this is our last verse for today. It says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Friends, this is my hope and prayer for you today and always, that the joy of Christ would be in you if you receive it, and that your joy would be made complete. No matter what worries are present in your life, and this is not minimizing them at all, may God richly bless you in the days to come. May the joy of Christ fill you up and make your joy complete. Not Hakuna Matata, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Amen, let's pray. God, we thank you for this gift of joy. We thank you that in this season of Advent, we can receive and unwrap this great gift. Help us to expect it, to look for it, and to choose joy. Give us the courage and strength to rejoice through all the circumstances that we face. Make our joy complete in you, we pray this in Jesus' name, Messiah, Savior of the world. Amen.